Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, March 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, Cypher hosts their Kicking Off Our DevNet space with MarginFi. Let's take a listen.
All right, guys. It's happening.
We're doing it live.
We are doing it live. That is very much what's happening here. That's one of my favorite clips. Oh my God. Anyway, thank you guys so much for coming today. We're so excited to be doing our team AMA with MarginFi about our DevNet launch today. So thank you everyone for listening in. We have Edgar and Anders from MarginFi, and we have Barrett, Alex, and our Edgar here from Cypher. So thank you guys so much for coming today. I'm going to have Barrett kick it off and start telling you all about our DevNet.
Okay. It's been a long time coming for us. I guess it's really only been like 7 months, but that seems like an eternity in the crypto land. So DevNet is live. We're, a synthetic derivatives platform on Solana with expiring futures markets. They're all synthetic, so anybody can trade, essentially any asset at the end of the day. DevNet is for trading synthetic SpaceX. And I don't know if you guys got on early, but the people in our Discord, we were in there buying it at $10. I think it's up to 86 now. So, I'm making a lot of fake money right now. It's pretty sick. But I think it's a little frothy. So I'm about to start hammering some short positions. So get ready. The market's going down. This is like the live testing environment. It's to, help us like find a bunch of bugs if there are any. Whether that's in the front end or on the smart contract side, we've been very diligent. We've, worked really hard to make sure that there are no bugs, but things do, can happen. And again, we're a team and we can write code to like stress test, but it's always different when you have, tens to 100 plus people like interacting with your application, it's harder to simulate with code and people acting, more sporadically and random. Really excited to have people actually get in there and try and break this thing. If you haven't already played around with it, go to the DevNet app, mint, trade, and lever the fuck up. That's not financial advice, but it is because it's DevNet and fake money.
It's DevNet advice, which is totally okay.
It's DevNet advice.
Awesome. Well, we're really excited to have our partners here from MarginFi. Edgar, would love to hear you give your take about what you're so excited about with Cypher, obviously, but also tell us, about what you guys have been up to, because you guys have had some really exciting announcements with your seed round recently, too.
Yeah, totally. Can you guys hear me all right?
Yep.
I've got this necessary strategy here in this house that I'm staying out on the East Coast, where I have to do all my Twitter spaces by the window because I am too lazy to connect to the Wi-Fi and the signal's only good here.
Hey, at least you got a strategy, because most people don't even have that. So, you know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely fair. No, I mean, you know, super, super, super stoked to see Cypher, you know, live on DevNet to the public. Obviously, you know, like Barrett said, has been what's felt like a really involved journey, right? In like an awesome way. You know, we've had the privilege of kind of just seeing the Cypher team, you know, build it over the last, you know, number of months. And that's been super exciting. I think, you know, biggest takeaway for me, right? I've maintained for a while that Cypher has one of the best code bases, at least, you know, from the sneak peeks that I've had a chance to kind of get here and there in the ecosystem, right? I'm super, super excited for, you know, the path to open source. And, you know, as they figure that out, it was just, you know, with DevNet, it's nice to get to use the product as a consumer, right? Like as an engineer, you know, I kind of see products on both sides sometimes, right? And, you know, reading the code is one thing for sure. Or, you know, understanding the mechanics, reading through their light paper, but using it is kind of a whole additional dimension to the experience, right? You know, and in line with, you know, the way that it's felt this whole time, I, you know, would love to hear what you guys, you know, think about DevNet, what your experience is. I found it to be extremely snappy, right? It's super intuitive. It's really easy to navigate throughout the experience. And obviously, I mean, you know, I feel like I could harp on the exciting and innovative parts of synthetic expiratory, you know, kind of products like the kind that Cypher is building, right? But that all obviously lives under the hood, right? And is like the major proposition of the DevNet experience. So yeah, I mean, overall, like super hyped to use it, you know, play around with it and kind of finally see it all come together from the user perspective.
Awesome. And then Edgar, tell us too, what's going on with you guys and your seed round.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like today's for Cypher, you know, I'm spending most of my day thinking about you guys. Look, you know, on the MarginFi side, right. Like we've kind of been telling people, you know, this first round was really the kickoff, right, of everything. You know, folks often ask, oh, like, you know, what's ahead for you guys? And I go the whole thing, right? The last chapter was, you know, a lot about setting the foundation for the effort, you know, pulling in strategic partners, you know, some of that on the investor side, right? Some of that on the protocol side within the ecosystem, right? You guys included. And it's been, you know, awesome to kind of see the energy in the ecosystem. I think, you know, and you guys can probably resonate with this, right? As we've seen like Solana price movements, crypto price movements, you know, broader macro trends evolve over the last couple months, right? There's definitely been quite a bit of volatility in 2022. But where I haven't seen volatility is in the dev ecosystem and, you know, with respect to the energy that the builders have maintained, right? I think all I see there is velocity. So it's, you know, privileged to be a part of that and excited to see projects like you guys get to, you know, next chapters in your journeys.
Awesome. Well, we're really excited to be working with you guys. And I think that you brought up a good point too, you know, about strategic partners and choosing who to work with. And that kind of leads me to my next question. This is for Barrett and Alex. So you guys as core contributors and as, you know, the people who, two of the three people founding Cypher, how did you guys go about thinking about the problem that you really wanted to solve and then finding the right partners to help you solve that problem while building Cypher?
Oh, sorry. Can you repeat the question? I was trading on the app.
No worries. That's a really good excuse to not have heard the question. But no, this is for Barrett and Alex. How did you guys think about what problems in DeFi you were excited about solving and then which partners you wanted to work with to solve, whether they were VCs or, you know, strategic partners in the ecosystem?
Yeah, great question. So this kind of like stemmed from the earliest version of what we were like working on. We had built like a quantitative matchmaking marketplace for private capital markets, like aiming to democratize access, right? And we actually sunset that project like 2 weeks before launch with a good amount of people on the waitlist and some, you know, LOIs with incubators and accelerators because it wasn't going to, you know, democratize access enough, right? Like, it was only going to help founders and, you know, people that were quote accredited investors. And so we essentially just pulled this piece that was in, you know, our roadmap forward that was, you know, building some sort of like exchange, right? And in this case, it's kind of, you know, turned a little bit more into like, it's not so much an exchange because we're built on top of Serum, right? But it is a derivatives platform. And what that means, like, is that anybody can now come up and like trade these sorts of like financial products, gaining exposure to, you know, private capital markets, right? And I think that, who do we partner with around this? I think that, you know, we have like educational resource providers, right? That was like our first like big partnerships that we made, because yes, there is like, you know, inherent information asymmetry, and more so than a lot of markets in private capital markets, right? Like the average person doesn't really get to see, you know, into a private company or get like, you know, the 10Ks or these quarterly reports, which I actually think are just 10Ks now that I say that. And like a lot of more of this like financial, you know, educational stuff around like, why is this company worth so much, right? Mm-hmm. And so we went out. This is, you know, something that is coming. It is not currently on our DevNet, but we have like some pretty robust reports that we are going to be like putting out into the UI, right? That allow for people to essentially get a private 10K, right? So this research group called Sacra, they write essentially what a sell-side equity report is, but for pre-IPO companies. And Cypher has entered into an agreement with them to pay them, and we publish this information for free to all of the users on the platform, right? This is really important. If you want to help like actually bring true price discovery forward, people need to understand, you know, like, hey, like, why is it valued? What are experts, quote experts, you know, thinking about like this company, right? It helps drive healthy market trading. As you can see, right? I mean, we started the mint like pretty low when we launched the DevNet, since we were kind of like the early liquidity, just to get people in there and trading. And we've seen like the rise from like $10 to now, I think it's $86, because I'm hammering short positions. But that's like something that most likely will not be actually happening because of the reports, right? Because there's more education, there's less information asymmetry when this product actually goes live, right? But you need that in there to, again, to like really bring that price discovery forward. And I think like, you know, next providers are like, hey, like who else is in the ecosystem that we can leverage, right? We didn't want to build the order book. I mean, we could have, but there's no reason because Serum is already out there. Naturally, you know, getting in contact with Serum, their team, right? And being like, hey, like we want to build on top of you. Like, how do we have a partnership, et cetera? Because, you know, what they've done is really awesome and saves, you know, new protocols coming into the ecosystem that are trying to compose really easy, right? Like you can, you know, with a couple hundred lines of code, you can like integrate with Serum's order books and beautiful matching engine, right? And then now what's next, right? There's liquidity providers, right? There's, you know, other derivatives protocols that can like, you know, build structured products on top of us. Obviously, MarginFi, right? I mean, Edgar and I have like the privilege of knowing each other for like almost a decade. I think it'll be a decade in August, which is sick. And so, you know, what they're building is something that we obviously want to integrate with because it's very beneficial to our users, whether those users are institutional or retail, right? People trade across multiple apps. And I don't want to give Edgar's pitch for him, but that fragments liquidity, right? When I have to connect a wallet and only utilize it on, you know, Cypher, right? Or Mango or Drift or, you know, Psy Options, name your protocol, that, you know, makes the user experience less ideal, right? Like, yes, you could write some code if you were, you know, a developer or like a quantitative hedge fund, for example, to like manage your positions. But what Edgar and you know, MarginFi are doing is writing that code for you to enable that like cross, you know, protocol margining, right? Whereas we offer it, you know, internally on Cypher, like Mango offers, you know, cross, you know, margining on their products, Drift and Zeta as well, right? Now Edgar can sit on top of all of us or underneath, depends on how you look at it, and really be, you know, a connector of liquidity between a lot of apps, right? And then obviously, you know, market makers, right? We're on an order book, right? We want bid-ask spreads to be narrow. We want markets to be liquid. So we're, you know, obviously, you know, working on, you know, onboarding market makers to the platform for this purpose to help, you know, keep markets liquid and, you know, those spreads narrow.
Awesome. Love that. That was such a good comprehensive overview of everything that we've been doing. So thank you so much for that, Barrett. This next question is for both you and Edgar. Obviously, you guys are some pretty amazing builders in this space. How do you guys maintain your effectiveness? And what advice do you have for other builders in the Solana ecosystem?
Well, that's an awesome question. Barry, you wanna kick it off, dude? I know we share a lot of the same strategies. We talk about this a lot.
Dude, you grip and rip, baby.
I love it.
I think Edgar's just tired of hanging his head out the window and talking. So he keeps passing it back to Barrett.
I don't have to hang my head out the window because I have headphones, which is like my secret, right? It's just the phone.
Okay, good. Okay. So it's just your hand that's hanging out the window.
Yeah. How do we maintain our effectiveness? So I think this is a really great question. I think it's a really massive question. Something, you know, we could easily spend an hour discussing on its own. And something that I hope to start speaking more publicly about in the near future. Not so much because I think I have the answers, but because I have a lot of questions. And I think a lot of people have questions on how to maintain productivity, effectiveness, attention, focus, right? Not only, you know, is I would say, you know, Web3 and I think specifically Solana, right? Not only is it like an early stage ecosystem, right? Full of like hyper passionate people who are really like, you know, focused on bettering themselves, I think, right? Helping each other, you know, kind of work towards greater goals. But I think there's been like a pretty massive information paradigm shift with Web3 in the context of like how humans that are a part of it like consume, process and act on information, right? You know, I've been talking about this the last couple of days specifically. I see a lot of like ADHD comments, right? Some of them are humorous, some of them are more serious. I think there's, you know, something to be said for like how much information is really being thrown at us, right? And how do we, you know, both evolve like as human beings to kind of handle that and like, you know, maintain a grounding on, you know, our like everyday lives, right? Because if it's not sustainable, it doesn't work in the long run. You know, I mean, you know, high level, right? I spend a lot of time learning, which is, you know, really intellectually stimulating. I also spend a lot of time staving off intellectual stimulation opportunities. I think that's like a really big part of, you know, what I think about. Shiny object syndrome in crypto is like all-time highs, right? You could easily bounce around like just learning forever. But then you don't necessarily get to do or drive the impact that you might like want to be driving, right? And I think especially as operators of, you know, startups, right, protocols, and this I think goes for whether you're a founder or a core contributor, right? If you're on the ground, right, you've chosen a mission, you're moving forward on that mission. Focus is incredibly, incredibly important, right? And part of that is choosing not to feed into the intellectual stimulation opportunities that are like all around you. And that means like, you know, often not learning or deprioritizing learning about like certain things that kind of just like come my way, right? So I think, yeah, that's been pretty interesting. I don't know, Barrett, what do you think? What's on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think like you got to echo that, right? If it is such a shiny object, you know, field, because there's so much happening. There's so much, you know, that needs to be built that is like all of a sudden coming up. And it's impossible if you're like really focused on a project to like pay attention to everything that's going on in all of crypto and let alone just the Solana ecosystem, right? I think like really just like talk with people, right? If you're like looking to be an effective builder, like talk with people, play around with products, like figure out like what you think needs to be there and then like pick something, right? Another thing is like go to the hacker houses. Whether that, you know, we hosted one, you know, Solana hosts a bunch, go to those and see what people are talking about, see what people are building, like find teams, find people, get on Twitter, and just like, you know, again, see what people are talking about. Find, I know people that have found co-founders off of Twitter, right? That's one of the best like things you can start doing. Maybe you're like, hey, I don't want to start something just yet. You can like the vast majority of the space is all open source, right? You could like start to contribute. You could, you know, look at like the bounties that some of these protocols put out, and you know, start to like tackle those, right? And, you know, play around with other projects. I think that there's like so many ways to get started. I love the hacker houses personally, right? I love going and meeting and talking with people in person. I think it kind of just adds this extra sauce that you don't get from like Twitter, right? And like you are inherently around people all the time that are like also working on cool shit that makes you want to build cool shit. And so go to the hacker houses, right? But I think like, yeah, there's so many opportunities to get started. Just like contributing, making PRs, you know, I think that that's like a really good way to like get in if you're like not ready to start something, and kind of like figure out what you want to do. And then, yeah, you know, just build something and, you know, drive hype and launch it eventually.
Definitely. I think that's a really good point about going to the hacker houses. And, you know, we're going to be at the one in New York. I know that the MarginFi team is going to be there too. So you guys should definitely come and say hi. Next question for you guys is, how do you think these different protocols can stay relevant when there's so many different open source dynamics going on? And how do you build moats in this ecosystem?
Ooh, great question. How do you stay relevant? I think like a big way to stay relevant is continue to like talk publicly about things, and ship products, right? I think that we've seen, you know, closed source projects, like open source, we've seen completely open source project. I want to give a big shout out to like Mango Markets. Those guys fucking ship so much code. I mean, we utilized some of their code to you know, bootstrap like our margin accounts, right? I think that that's like, they've done just an unreal job. I think their like whole like Mango Markets repo is like 500,000 lines of code now, from like they've open source market making bots, their whole contract, you know, their Redis backend for indexing, right? They've done so much stuff, and it continues to help them stay atop like everybody right now, right? I think that that's super sick. I think that shipping like product and markets, whether that's, you know, product being like you're shipping UI updates, you're shipping new order types, right? We saw Mango ship like time and force, which is an amazing feat in my opinion. This is something that you get in like centralized world, where you can set like a time limit expiration on your order. But to be able to do that on chain is something that's like unbelievably awesome, right? Like that helps market makers so much, right? Especially in times of like TPS variability, where, you know, maybe not everything is going to get like processed at the same time, and you're running the risk of liquidation, and you're a market maker, right? And you have like a pretty heavy book. Your orders can, you know, expire, right? If they, you know, like during TPS, because you can't like cancel them or something like that, and then they won't like fill, which I think is like really beautiful. Or like Drift, right? They launched like the VAM, and now they can do, you know, limit orders, which is something that I think is really important, again, if you want to have like institutional adoption or and like mainstream adoption of like these like DeFi like protocols, right? But yeah, I mean, I think it's just partnerships as well. Like everybody is like fighting for partnerships, I think, but if you can really get some and like be some of the first partnerships, that really sets your protocol like apart, and creates that moat, right? Liquidity is probably like the biggest moat of all.
Very well said. Thank you. I want to talk before we get into the Q&A, like let's talk actual protocol dynamics and what's going on. Barrett, like give us an overview of sort of some activity that's happened on Cypher since we had our earliest users testing it last night. What are we excited about?
Dude, so much. I mean, I'm just fucking amped that it's live and people are playing around with it. I think some of the cool things that, you know, I've noticed, I mean, like the collateralization ratios are working, you know, you can like sell your positions, right? If I go and like look at like our margin accounts right now, I think we've had like almost 100 like margin accounts spin up, which is super sick. Which means that there are, I mean, some of those probably are like people like having like multiple wallets, but in reality, that's like cool to see, right? Like we have, you know, 100 people that we didn't have 2 days ago testing this application. You know, I think like the borrow rates, you know, are pretty affordable. Like it's 0.5% on USDC. I don't know what it is on SpaceX currently. Let's see. It's 3.4%, right? So I'm paying 3.4% to short right now, which is pretty cool. I think that means probably like the, if you're a long holder of SpaceX, you're probably getting like 1% plus or minus like a little bit, which is pretty cool. Just for like holding the asset like in your margin account, not only are you getting to participate in, you know, the gains and or losses of, you know, when you bought in, but you're also receiving, you know, interest payments, and a little bit differently than like Mango gives interest payments. Mango does it in like its native, like the native token that you hold. And since these are synthetic assets and futures products, right, we pay, the protocol pays like interest in USDC, right, which I think is pretty exciting. So, I mean, like that's, you know, I think I've, you know, you last night, I mean, like we were sitting there at like 3 a.m., you know, minting a bunch of positions. I thought that was like really exciting. I mean, we were creating a lot of liquidity.
That was super fun.
I think we've had like some like $5 million dollars of you know, trading volume in like the handful of hours that this has been up, which is like, you know, pretty exciting. I think trading volume is down in the last, oh, it's up in this last hour, which is cool to see, right? You know, prices, you know, the charts look really nice. But yeah, I don't want to ramble. I mean, I think that like, you know, get in there and like play around with it yourself. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Like it's not perfect, and we're super eager to, you know, make this you know, as awesome and beneficial to, you know, the users as we possibly can. I'm looking at like the markets, right? We've minted 103,000 and some change. You know, SpaceX futures product, futures contracts, right? Like that's super exciting. We've generated since launch, the minters rewards have been like $1,100. You know, that's like pretty cool to see. But yeah, I mean, it's just having a good time. I think there's a lot of people that are owing for liquidation. We got to turn our Lickbot on.
Awesome. Alex is texting me. He has a question.
Just unmute your mic, bro.
Alex, you there?
It was not a question. It's something that I think is really interesting and fun, and we should be sharing. Just regarding dollar volume, it's important to see that Cypher is able to handle the high volume trades and instability and all the things that happen within a healthy market. So I'm happy to hear that there's more than 5 million USDC been processed through.
Awesome. Well, if anyone else from either the core MarginFi team or the Cypher team wants to add something, we'd love to hear it now. And if not, we'll just open it up to Q&A. Jojo, any questions? Yeah. Anything you want to say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just mostly in here listening. Honestly, I think these guys do a great job of discussing everything that needs to be said. But yeah, thank you guys for having me up here regardless.
Awesome. Well, if anyone in the audience has any questions, we would love for you to ask them. Definitely happy to answer anything. What up?
I have a question.
Okay, TJ was going to ask too.
Oh no. All right, TJ, go ahead.
Yeah, don't you think you had enough time up here? Let me ask my question. Super curious. Just like what the role of institutions play in something like a derivatives protocol, and how important is like institutional buy-in here? Like, do you see them using it like right now in the current state? Super curious to hear about just their role in all of this. And how important derivatives are to them.
Yeah, great question. I think that they are very important, and they can get, you know, a good amount of value out of the protocol as is today. From, you know, a private equity shop, right, that holds, you know, a bunch of, you know, some of the, you know, underlying asset, right, whether that is, you know, I mean, on DevNet, it's SpaceX, right, but when mainnet hits, right, it'll be Stripe, ByteDance, and Kraken. They might want to like hedge their, you know, position, right? They want to take some money off the table. And instead of like going and just selling their shares like OTC, or, you know, maybe sometimes it's not even like allowed to, like, you know, you can't like really short an asset, right? In the private capital markets. Whereas on Cypher, one, you can like dirty hedge, right? So a PE fund that, you know, might not be able to, like, you know, move shares for another quarter, another half year, right? Maybe a year, or maybe not at all, right? They could come dirty hedge on the platform, take some capital off the table by taking a short position or minting the asset, right? And I think that, you know, provides a lot of, you know, again, like one, price discovery, and two, liquidity for, you know, Cypher's markets, right? So I think that's like a easy role for the in utility of the product. I think that there are people that will inherently take shorts. I think this is one of like maybe three platforms in the world right now that you can take a short position on a private company, and the only one that is open to everybody as well. So I think that's like a big utility for institutions. And one thing that this provides institutions, it's an order book, right? They can set it at a price, right? They can look at the order book. They can see, you know, how the market is moving and valuing, these private entities right now, and take a more, intuitive and like more like quantitatively defined, you know, short or hedge. And I think that, you know, if they want to close that position really quickly, they can do so. Which they can't do in like the traditional, companies that offer, you know, like derivatives on, these underlyings, right? I think that, you know, other institutions being, you know, hedge funds or market makers, coming in here and like collecting the bid ask spread, like I'm looking at the order book right now, is actually pretty tight. It's only like 19 cents between the highest bid and the lowest ask. But in reality, you know, that could be wider, could be narrower, but, you know, market makers coming in here and, you know, helping keep liquidity on the book, and filling orders and keeping that bid ask spread narrow is like something that's one really important for Cypher, in the markets and price discovery, as well as, actually for them being able to like make money, right? Like they're a market maker, they collect money on the bid ask spread. And so that's like another like easy opportunity for institutions to come in. And since these are derivatives, right, you can, you know, do some more creative strategies than you that you can't necessarily do with, you know, the underlying asset itself. And especially as we roll out like new products, I think we're going to launch like pair futures. So like trading like a futures contract on Sol ETH. Everybody loves looking at charts, but people aren't really like trading the pairs. And so I think that's something that we're going to roll out. And then, you know, that's like another like hedging mechanism using derivatives and trading exposure between like a pair, right? That a lot of people might not easily get in DeFi, right?
Dope. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks, TJ. You're the best. Okay. Looks like we had another speaker, but we don't anymore. Okay, does anyone have any more questions? This is your chance to ask us all the DevNet hot takes.
All right, I'll come in with my question.
Okay.
So, Alex, I thought what you brought up with respect to seeing how the protocol reacts to natural user behavior, right, and kind of healthy markets, I thought that was really interesting and a really great point. And I know that, you know, that feeds into a conversation that, you know, I know MarginFi has been having with Cypher and, you know, I've been having kind of across the ecosystem, a conversation around developer testing, right, and productivity. I think there's like a huge testing challenge right now on Solana, right? The kind of the standard approach is to deploy to DevNet. But, you know, DevNet's like a global DevNet. It acts differently than mainnet, right? There's not even really conversation happening around like testing reproducibility and things like that. A lot of folks are kind of building in silos, right? I think, you know, in the near future, or at least, you know, we hope to contribute to kind of a more global conversation around, you know, improving like developer practices, right? To ultimately like build and ship robust code. So I'd love to hear, you know, how are you guys thinking about the metrics that you are, you know, tracking on the like protocol robustness side when it comes to DevNet, right? Like you're watching this happen, right? What's kind of on your mind as you're seeing trading activity and, you know, evaluating, you know, what's good, where there might be room for, you know, improvement, kind of things like that on the, you know, obviously the ultimate road to mainnet.
Yeah, that's a great question. In general, our eyes and ears are wide open, and I'm always asking people deeper and deeper questions to unpack every bit of feedback that they're giving on the in Discord and Twitter. Primarily, we're getting really good feedback in Discord so far. So I think it's important to, you know, always not build what we think is cool, but build what the market wants and what the community is demanding. And in order to do that, we have to provide the most open lines of communications and also a secure and safe space for folks to feel comfortable sharing that feedback. So that's what we're doing now. I'm excited as DevNet's limited right now to one particular C asset. As Barrett was touching on, these future markets that we'll be launching, we want to see how folks are interacting with those and the volume of which they're interacting with those. And we do have mechanisms in place on the front end to track that sort of wallet behavior, if you will. So yeah, we're just keeping our eyes open and ears open and adjusting along the way. But I'm most excited to see how multiple markets work together, multiple asset classes work together, like pre-IPO and pre-IDO. And then, of course, like trading pairs that Barrett was talking about. So all of these things can be launched fairly easily because our team has done such a good job building the back end that spinning up new markets will not be the hardest task in the world. So really looking forward actually to exercising Cypher, to promoting Cypher as a primitive so others know that they can build on top of Cypher and launch their own markets on top of Cypher. So that's something that we haven't been pushing very hard yet. Been keeping our eye on the prize of getting this out. But yeah, there's all sorts of ways to track engagement that we're doing, listening to community to launch those sorts of tradable markets that they are asking for. And then, yeah, I think that's about it. Anything else, Barrett, that you want to add on back end tracking? If anything.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that we noticed like really quickly is the way that we were minting assets, right? We originally made like mints like post only, which means they can't cross a spread. Now, in reality, I'm not really sure why you would want to like mint to get filled immediately. Like crossing the spread and like filling like an order that's, you know, below like the typical sell price, right? Because when you mint, you do take an inherent short position, but we moved that to being a limit order so people could like mint to have it filled immediately, because the way that rewards are distributed, you don't actually earn any rewards until your orders as a minter are filled, right? So maybe people are interested in like becoming a liquidity provider and participating in the rewards from like minters. So we adjusted that. That was something that, you know, we saw from like the on-chain side that was like kind of, you know, being a little weird. I think that another thing that we like noticed pretty quickly was that we had like a rounding issue that we fixed. One of the like big number doesn't use decimals. We were feeding it into decimal, and it was like causing mints that were like maybe like above the bid when we were like post orders post only orders. Like let's say the highest bid was like $82 and you minted at like $82.33, it like ended up rounding down to $82, and given that it was a post only, you couldn't cross the spread. So your order would look like it minted, but it would just get like burned immediately. And people were like, you know, not understanding like what was going on that front. So like little things like that, I think that, you know, monitoring the, you know, borrow lend that is going on. Although I think most people are just hammering long positions on SpaceX right now. But you know, I think that that's like something that like I'm paying a lot of attention to, is, you know, how do these APYs are like operating when, you know, prices, you know, fluctuating pretty rapidly. People are like borrowing a lot to go long. People are now starting to like borrow more to go short. So they're borrowing like synthetic SpaceX tokens. And so like, this is like a different, you know, this is something that I'm monitoring and paying attention to. I think the collateralization ratios on the on-chain side, like, hey, how's the liquidation bot like running? Or like, hey, like how many people are in like the red? How's the port? Do we still have enough money in the system from the minters to cover, you know, a market if it were to settle, even with like a lot of people being under collateralized now on the minting side? And so that's like one of the big, those are like some of the big things that we're paying attention to and monitoring right now. I think we're about to turn the liquidation pot on. I know I said we were like monitoring it, but I don't think it's actually on.
Awesome. Does anyone have any more questions before we wrap up here? All right, guys, thank you so much. We're so happy that you guys tuned in to listen. If you have any more questions, if anything else comes to mind, always hit us up on our Discord. We're here to help you anytime. And we're just so excited to be trading with you. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for having us on.
Have a good one. Oh, wait. One more question. We got one more question.
Oh, you're lucky. I literally just, like, my finger missed the leave button.
Oh, my God.
What's up?
Okay, Chain Guys is connecting. One second. All right, Chain Guys, it's all you. Oh, wait, is he connected? Yes, he is.
Oh, hello, hello.
Hi.
Hi. First, congratulations and finally DevNet. And just one question. Are you currently working with any market maker now? Oh, thank you.
Not for DevNet per se. I mean, we're about to deploy a market making bot here in like the next like couple of days to like be, you know, filling liquidity. I think that we are, I mean, we have market makers that came into like our seed round that we're chatting with to, you know, work with them on getting them set up for mainnet launch. But for DevNet, like, maybe they come on to like do some testing for their bots, like towards the end of DevNet. But yes, we are working to, you know, get, you know, market makers on board for, you know, our mainnet launch and helping actually keep, you know, bid-ask spreads narrow. I don't want to drop any names, but we definitely have a couple on the cap table, and we're in talks with a couple big ones currently as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you for the question. Okay, looks like we have one more too.
Yeah, thank you for letting me speak. I like the questions so far being asked. I want to first of all thank Edgar. He recommended that I'd make a Twitter and start following people. But my question again is, what would you recommend for beginners in this space to do?
Can I
get it, Alex?
Yeah, can I take this? Because it's one of my favorite stories in the world. This space is so young, and I don't mean that from an age perspective. What's really cool is we have people from who ask that question all the time, and they're from the ages of 19 to like our parents. I mean, Barrett's dad is now turned into a complete degen. It's beautiful. So it's more of a state of mind and innovation and not being afraid to fail and getting in and trying to do something new and understand what that means, both on the fun side and on what to look out for. But I don't know if he is in here. Our first intern, Ben, who is now working at Sino Global Capital. He is one of the smartest guys I know. And he was either 19 or 20. He DM'd us in the early days of Cypher and said, hey, I'm a student at the local university, love trading, love crypto. It's all I think about. I'm in school. I make great coffee. Can I come in and can I be an intern? I'll do anything. And he just showed up like 20 minutes after he DM'd us and said, hey, I'm the guy who DM'd you. So right there, he got his first intern gig and he started managing Twitter and he was in Discord and he was writing thoughtful threads. And in three very short weeks, he created a reputation for himself. And Sino Global Capital, you know, big international, highly respected investment firm, hires him. And so in a matter of 3 weeks, he went from being in school, sitting in a classroom, wishing he was in crypto, to working for one of the biggest global VCs in the ecosystem, just because he said, fuck it, I'm just going to go for it. And now he's, you know, not going to college and not looking back. Don't recommend that for everyone. But for those that have that itch and have that drive and can grind and have a passion for it, just got to start somewhere. And for Ben, he was going to make coffee and shitpost about trading from his dorm room. And like I said, three very short weeks later, he is working for a totally badass international investment firm. So it is very possible the road to success or being a founder or something is way shorter than you would think. You can really make anything happen right now. So just go for it. That'd be my recommendation. Just go for it.
Awesome. Thank you. That's really inspirational. Yeah, I literally made Twitter like 5 minutes ago and I looked for Edgar and then started looking around like, oh, Cypher's doing something live. I'm going to jump on this right now. So this is amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. We're so glad you're here.
You're an animal, Sean. I'm pretty sure I responded to that DM like 35 minutes ago. I'm pretty stunned. But I mean, yeah, like highlights the point, right? And I think it's incredibly important to kind of keep talking about how the barriers, I think, are the access barriers are lower, right? Makes it a lot easier to get involved.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much. Glad we got two more questions in. Like I said, if you guys think of any more, hit us up in our Discord. We're always here to answer. And let's start trading. This is going to be the best week ever. Thank you, guys.
I have been degenerately trading this whole time.
Well, everyone go in and start degen trading with Barrett. Thanks, right, guys. Talk soon.
Thanks for tuning in, Bye. Guys.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Cypher DevNet launches with MarginFi Space, recorded on Monday, March 7th, 2022. This episode of the Ether was brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of the Ether was also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of the Ether was also brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. They say rapping is the gateway, bringing home great pay. Checking that replay, sing along and we say nobody gives a fuck around my way. I make about $3 for every thousand plays, so add it up and do the math on that. Financially speaking, why the fuck would anybody wanna rap? But in this reality, the money comes from doing shows. But then where's the money go when you can't do the shows? I guess you could rap on Cameo. I've been asking all my friends if I can rap on the patio. 6 feet, motherfucker, step the fuck back. Doing a little magic, pulling rabbits out the rucksack. Not everybody's always in it for the money. Looking like another crooked Sunday and I'm working Monday. So you know I ain't stressing, left debating great methods. Amazed to play Inception, the bass stay blessed.
See, even with these huge sums of overall royalties, the sums of money that go to the record label per playback can seem insultingly small. Many rights holders are making around $0.75 each time someone listens to one of their tracks, leaving only some portion of that for the actual artist. Pennies per play. Until they can figure out how to turn a profit, their future will always be in question. But for now, investors see enough potential to continue to fund pennies per play.
Another day, another lesson. Living in the eighth dimension might be worth a little mention. Living in the Great Depression, got a real regal feel. Reeling in another sucker fish out to make a deal, just to make a motherfucker wish. Aw shit, now you only got two left. You know what I wish? We didn't have any loose ends. You know what I miss? Listening to excuses. Now we're on the fence like we forgot how to choose. That's what happens when people don't know what's true. In the dark, eating bullshit up like a mushroom. In the lunchroom, just trying to laugh it off. Meanwhile, foaming at the mouth like a rabid dog. Like a fake mating call at the zoo. It's looking like the view is getting disappointed too. I'm working on the new shit, trying to produce it. It's what I'm willing to go through when I'm making my music.
Terra Spaces.